This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. We're gonna tackle a little bit of bad news here in the open. It's gonna get that out of the way. Then we're gonna dump some praise on Brandon Gill, who continues to impress. UAE, the United Arab Emirates, they left OPEC. I want to know why. What's all this OPEC stuff about? Is this good? Is it bad? Daniel Turner joins us about a half hour from now, talks about that. We'll do emails, all that, so much more coming up in the final hour of the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I'm in an outstanding mood, and what I'm about to say is terrible, so I'm going to get through it as fast as humanly possible. Then I'm just going to wash that off, but it is what it is. So, the Iran stuff has not stopped. When I say stuff, I mean we still have a blockade. We still can't get them to agree on anything, on any kind of a ceasefire deal. And we appear to be at the same impasse we have been. The problem with that impasse is this. Yes, things are very, very bad inside of Iran right now. Trump put up on social media that he hears the place is collapsing. You never know what to believe or not believe when it comes to Trump's social media, but we don't have to have Trump's social media posts to know, due to sanctions, Iran was hurting badly before we ever crossed the seas and bombed them. They're probably not doing great now, right? I'm sure things are real, real rough in there. Okay. But it appears we are on an economic and political game of chicken. And I am starting to suspect, well, I've been suspecting, that Iran wants to play this game of chicken. And the game of chicken is, yes, we're Iran. Yes, our economy is in shambles. Our political situation's really bad. All our leaders are dead or dying. It's all really bad on our end. However, you, Mr. President, because the world and America, because they're so displeased with everything around this, you are going to be in trouble faster than we are. I'm not saying they're correct about that, but I am starting to suspect that's a calculation they're going to make. We have midterm elections coming up in November. Here is the latest from today. Trump's approval is at 34%. Trump's disapproval is at 64%. This far eclipses his lowest, really anyone's lowest approval numbers ever. And maybe the most devastating part of this is this one. Trump's approval on the handling of the cost of living, a record low, 22%, 69% say Trump is not handling the cost of living well, because of course the war in Iran has driven up the cost of living. Economically, this has been very bad. Economically, this has the potential to be catastrophic. Politically, it has been very bad. Politically, there is a chance this is catastrophic. I want you to again say a prayer, because we need to come home quickly. We need to come home quickly. The cost of us not coming home, understand what I'm talking about here, the cost of us not coming home is these people run all three branches of the government.
There's tremendous, as you can understand, concern given the threat levels that are going up, in part because of the the president and now three assassination attempts on him, his very low approval ratings, which unfortunately fuel a lot of disaffection.
I'm just going to leave it there. Every day the news gets worse. The prices are going up. People are suffering. We are being blamed. And it's a political disaster. There you go. Brandon Gill's great, though.
What's your favorite type of abortion?
I am an advocate for patients having access to the full realm of reproductive health care.
But do you have a preferred method of abortion that you like?
I do not.
Let me read through a couple different methods, and I want to get your take on how much you like these. The first type is called a suction abortion. This is when the cervix...
By the way, I know this is gruesome, and it is gruesome. It is really important to have this stuff out there so people understand what we're talking about, because, you know, communists use language purposefully. They use language to deceive. And so they take some of the most barbaric actions in the world and they call it women's reproductive rights. I love that we have somebody with the guts to look at an abortion activist and read it to her stupid demonic face.
This is dilated in a strong suction, 29 times the power of a household vacuum cleaner, tears the baby's body apart and sucks it through the hose into a container. Do you prefer that method?
I stand by my former testimony.
That sounds kind of gross, doesn't it? Sounds pretty gruesome. Do you agree? It does to me.
I stand by how I answered your question fully and accurately.
Okay, what about this one? This one is called dilation and curettage. After dilation of the cervix, a sharp looped knife is inserted into the uterus. The baby's body is cut into pieces and extracted, often by suction. Do you prefer that method?
What I believe we are here to talk about today is the FACE Act. We are not here to talk about the legality.
I'm asking you, you're a pro-abortion advocate. I'm asking if you prefer the dilation and curettage method.
I am an access to reproductive health care advocate.
Listen to how she corrects him. You're an abortion activist. I'm an access to reproductive health care. Communists lie about everything all the time. They are purposeful with all of their words because their words are designed to deceive.
You don't want to talk about abortion itself. Why is that?
I would prefer to talk about the reason that the committee called the hearing.
Is it because it's uncomfortable to talk about?
I would prefer
it should be uncomfortable.
I would prefer, if you would let me finish my statement, to talk about the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, which is what I was asked to come here.
What that access gets. How about this one? It's called dilation and evacuation. Forceps are inserted into the uterus, grabbing and twisting the baby's body to dismember him or her. If the head is too large, it must be crushed in order to remove it. Do you prefer that method?
I would prefer to talk about the reason the hearing was called and the basis of my expert testimony.
It's uncomfortable to hear this, isn't it? It is. I think it is, because it's barbaric and evil. How about this one? It's called the saline injection. It's when a 20% salt solution is injected through the mother's abdomen into the baby's amniotic fluid. The baby's skin is burned off. The baby ingests the solution and dies of salt poisoning, dehydration, and hemorrhaging of the brain. Do you prefer that method?
I would prefer to talk about the subject of the hearing.
This is the subject of the hearing. This is about protests outside of abortion clinics. I'm asking you about abortion.
I stand by my prior testimony.
Okay. I wouldn't want to talk about this either if I were you, because it is barbaric and evil.
I love this guy. I'm the one always telling you they're all rental cars. This guy is impressive. Finally, someone with the guts to stand up and say it. And the reason that was effective is because, I mean, abortion's just like any other communist issue. Everything's designed to deceive around it. Everything's designed to cover up the horrors of it. It's not that bad. It's women's reproductive rights. Everything they say is carefully selected to present things in the nicest possible way. The most evil, barbaric things always presented in the nicest, most possible way. When you cut through the noise, just pull out the descriptions and read it to them. They sit there. You could tell how agitated she was. They sit there and they squirm in their chairs because the light scares the darkness. This is the thing these people cannot stand, is simply exposing what they do, exposing who they are, exposing the things they stand for, because they lie about everything all the time. They are deceivers with everything they do and everything they say, and they have taken the most evil things in this country and put the smiliest, sunniest face on those things and tried to sell it to a bunch of Americans. And sadly, they've succeeded in some ways. Anyway, let's move off of all that. Get to some emails before we do other things. Let's talk about getting rid of your pain. Let's talk about pills. When you're hurting, when something on you hurts, when it hurts to work or hurts to sleep or hurts to sit or hurts to golf, whatever, it is very, very tempting to reach for a pill bottle, isn't it? Even if it's just, you know, over the counter, whatever. But you know that's bad for you. You're not an idiot. You know it's bad for you. Why not try for something natural? You see, Relief Factor is 100% drug-free. It is a unique formula of natural ingredients. Your body is already in a war against that inflammation. It just needs some support. Relief Factor, consider it the reinforcements your body's been looking for. It will build up in your system over time. That pain goes down and down and down, and you wake up in 2 or 3 weeks and it's gone. Just try it. 3 weeks if it's $19.95. Just try it. 1-800, the number 4 relief, or relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. You can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Speaking of Brandon Gill, I should have played this yesterday. It's just too much. It's too funny. It's a little long, so I might interrupt it. But have you ever seen that purple-haired freak that kind of looks like a witch? Rosa DeLauro is a name. Some communist Democrat woman. Just some hag. Well, she gets in a scrap with Lee Zeldin. Lee Zeldin is a great dude. Great dude. Used to be a member of Congress. Now he's EPA. Lee Zeldin is a great dude. So Rosa DeLauro decides that she's going to try to match wits with Lee Zeldin. Now, remember, so many of these people in Congress, they're just idiots. They'll lie or do enough to raise enough money to get elected, but they're not capable people. They're just morons, and they'll be there forever. Their staffers read things for them. They don't actually do anything. And every now and then, they start barking up the wrong tree.
When climate change is flooding our streets, poisoning our air, driving up health care and disaster costs, how can the EPA justify abandoning that duty to protect Americans, to appease polluters under the false flag of economic growth?
Following the law, Section 202 of the Clean Air Act, where does it say anything about fighting global climate change? Loper-Bright, Supreme Court case, you familiar with it?
No, I maybe others are. I'm not, but let me ask.
But that's really important. As a member of Congress, Loper-Bright says that we as an agency don't have the authority to get creative if Section 202 of the Clean Air Act.
No, but you don't have, excuse me, you do not have the right to say climate change does not exist, that it's a hoax, and that's where this administration is coming from.
I understand you're upset that you don't know what Loper-Bright is. Do you know what the major policies doctrine is?
I'm upset because.
Do you know what the major policies doctrine is?
You know what? Let me just.
You're a member of Congress. You should know.
Well, you have moved from someone who defended the environment to all of a sudden
being very defensive about not knowing the two biggest landmark Supreme Court cases of the last year
You are very defensive about changing your policy and your positions with regard to the environment.
Okay.
Now, you just tell
me. Do you want me to tell you what the two biggest Supreme Court cases are
me.
Of the last few years?
This is what I want you
Michigan
to tell
versus
me.
EPA?
No.
West Virginia versus EPA?
You know, you're here because you need money from us. So halt for the second and wait for the questions and answer the question.
Well, I answered your question.
No, you didn't.
And you didn't like my answer because you don't know what Loper-Bright is, because you don't know what the major policies doctrine is.
Chairman,
because you're asking me. You're asking me about Section 202 of the Clean Air Act, and you don't read it. You don't know what it says.
Listen, and what you want to do is to deny.
No, I actually read the law. I do my homework.
Really?
You're just somebody who likes to have the microphone on. You know what I have to do? I read the law.
No,
I read
Chairman,
the Supreme Court cases.
I don't have to listen to this. And I would say
no,
this.
No, what you should do for your constituents is actually read statute.
The budget is at real risk.
Read your Supreme Court.
This is the Appropriations Committee.
Oh, you're here. You care about science? Now you're threatening to defund it?
Oh, my God. No, you don't fund science.
Because you don't know what Loper Bright is. Because you don't know what the Major Policies Doctrine is. Your message to our folks at the EPA is that you want to defund us.
You don't have to listen to this BS.
The BS. Do you think I made up these cases?
Yeah, I think you have made up a whole
I made up Loper Bright. I made up West Virginia versus EPA. I made up Michigan versus EPA.
I just enjoyed that way more than I should have. They're just the worst people in the world. And listening to them be exposed just nourishes me. Hey, Jesse, what would prevent 1,000 heavily armed Iranian death cult suicide bombers from rushing the hotel, shooting the security guards, and pushing themselves into the main ballroom? Okay, well, I understand this nightmare scenario you just painted about the security situation at things like the White House Correspondents' Dinner, but here's something that's even worse. 1,000 heavily armed men who were trained could go take whatever they wanted in Washington, D.C. The reason it doesn't happen is you have to be able to train, organize, equip, and get them there without being discovered, because then it would all be broken up and everyone would be arrested. That is the real challenge, and that's the kind of thing that keeps Washington safe. The secret is that there's only a limited number of good guys with guns in Washington, D.C. protecting people. Whether Democrats are in power or Republicans are in power, there are only so many Secret Service agents. There's only so many National Guard dudes on standby, D.C. cops, FBI agents. There aren't, in the end, that many of them. And if you get somebody organized and trained enough and they decide they want to go kill a bunch of people at some event of some kind, well, that's the way it is. But we have to get better and sharper because of the communist threat. That is the threat we have to get better and sharper about. Our enemies, our foreign enemies are real. I know that. But domestically, that communist they just arrested was not the last one. The turd at Butler was not the last one. That freak who tried to kill Trump in Florida on the golf course was not the last one. The one who did kill Charlie Kirk was not the last one. There's another one listening as we speak. There's another one plotting as we speak. Communists are violent. They are inherently violent. They believe violence is a necessary part of the revolution. They do not believe they are wrong, and there is going to be one of them who is dumb enough, deranged enough, drunk enough to do it again. And then again and again. We have to get better. Specifically, like I said, J.D. Vance. All right, we'll talk to Daniel Turner about the UAE leaving OPEC. What? Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday, reminding you you need to email the show your love, your hate, your death threats, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Joining me now, my co-host at this point in time, because we just had him last week, Power the Future's own Daniel Turner. Daniel, before we get to the UAE and those specific things, could you mind giving us kind of the elementary school version on OPEC? What is it? Where did it come from? Why is it a thing? What is going on?
Sure. Happy to. So OPEC was started in 1970 when all of these countries of the Middle East began realizing that they had a lot of oil and gas and that America dominated this industry worldwide. I mean, we didn't, you know, discover oil or discover oil refinery, but we perfected it. And God has blessed America with tremendous amounts of oil and gas. So it really is a thoroughly American industry. And it was Americans who went abroad and found oil and gas in other places. It was Texans who went to the Saudis first and realized there was a ton of oil and gas there. When these countries realized they had as much or maybe even more, and why was America calling the shots? Why was America in charge? So they formed a little partnership of the oil-producing and exporting nations. So that's what OPEC is. And it was started in 1970. And over time, as America made really bad energy policy, especially under the Carter administration, but then, you know, during the Clinton years and during the, obviously, the Obama years, OPEC became more and more powerful. And OPEC began calling the shots. OPEC was now in charge of the world's oil and gas policy. And that's where we were up until a couple minutes ago.
Okay. Up until a couple minutes ago, which leads me to what happened a couple minutes ago.
Yeah, so the United Arab Emirates, which UAE and everyone knows Dubai, right? That's like the cool it place to go, though not high on my list, quite frankly. You can't drink, and not that I have a drinking problem, but I am a fine Irishman, and I like my cocktails. And the idea of going on vacation and not having a cocktail or several is just like ridiculous.
Hold on, right? Pause. I'm sorry to interrupt. You can't even drink like in the hotel or something like that?
I think maybe in some hotels you can have a cocktail, but not at restaurants, not. And I mean, come on. I mean,
okay.
All right. That's awful. Awful okay. vacation. Okay. You know, I don't care how nice the hotel is. If I can't get a martini, why the hell am I there? So, but it's a very fancy place, and everyone wants to go to Dubai, right? And UAE is the third largest member of OPEC, huge oil and gas production. And they realize, you know, we keep producing a hell of a lot more, but OPEC won't let us. OPEC's in charge, and OPEC has them limited to a little more than 3 million barrels a day. And they say, you know, we can produce 5. Why the hell are we not producing 5, especially at the current prices? Why are we not making our country as rich, as powerful, and powerful as possible? Because OPEC is calling the shot. And I guess, you know, the best analogy is, Jesse, which we see a lot of world orders, global orders breaking down. Look at something like the European Union, where you have Hungary and Poland saying, hey, we don't want a million Muslims in our neighborhood, so we're not going to allow them. And the European Union is like, nope. You're part of our order. You have to, right? There's tension there. What's more important for Hungarians, Hungary or the European Union, right? Look at us in NATO. We want to do X, and NATO's like, you can't do that. NATO calls the shots, and President Trump is like, what the hell's more powerful, America or NATO? What's more important? So the United Arab Emirates is saying, why does OPEC's value or OPEC's needs trump our needs? Right. And the UAE should have a UAE first policy, just like America has America first now under President Trump. Every country should have a their country first policy and not kowtow to a bunch of idiots, whether they're in Brussels at the European Union or whether they're in. Is Brussels also NATO? Right. In Brussels for NATO or Vienna, which is where OPEC is headquartered. Put your own damn country first. And that's what the UAE is doing. And they have left OPEC. And that's huge. That's absolutely devastating to OPEC.
Okay. So UAE has made the decision to leave. Where does that take global oil prices? I'm concerned about Americans and what they're paying. That's my main point of the question. Where does it leave OPEC, period? Does it just dissolve after this? What comes next?
OPEC will continue, but it is definitely a lot weaker because now this is several million barrels that will be produced outside of their rigging the system, right? OPEC decides this is how much oil we're going to produce today, you know, or they have quarterly meetings where they set production numbers. They could produce a hell of a lot more, but they want prices artificially high because they're making a lot of money. So if the UAE suddenly starts adding 2 million barrels a day to the world order, eventually that's going to lower prices because the supply is going to increase, right? And they're producing more. They're not worried about OPEC's numbers. They're worried about their own numbers. And an increase of supply is good for everybody. So more global supply is good for global prices. And we are on a global price index. It doesn't really affect America's oil and gas so much. I mean, they may send some here to refine. And our refiners would welcome more customers, right? It's not going to have a huge impact on America, but it will have a huge impact on the power of OPEC to call the shots. And if you believe in America, which you do, and you think America is the ultimate force for good, which it is, then we want all of our enemies weak, or even not our enemies, even our adversaries. We want everybody else weak because we're in charge and we're the good guys. And so if OPEC is weak, if Venezuela is weak, if Iran is weak, if Russia is weak, ultimately, if the communist Chinese are weak, that is good. So this is just another sort of step of seeing our adversaries weaker, and that makes America stronger.
Speaking of Iran, I'm looking at a headline, crude back above $110 on straight stalemate fears. Can we get these prices stabilized and back down if this thing does not get resolved, which I'm getting more and more skeptical of, that this thing might go on for a while? I'm concerned about these prices, Daniel. What's going to come?
I'm devastated about these prices. Without it, I'm with you 100%. I know the president is well aware of this. I know he is making what policies he thinks are best, regardless of their impact, their short-term impact on the economy. But that's a real problem, right? We can absorb a couple of weeks of $100 a barrel oil and things will go back to normal. And yeah, there'll be, you know, a couple times you went to the pump and it was expensive, but overall it will even out. But we're going on 2 months now. And the longer it stays at this level, the worse it is for the economy and for Americans. And I think the Iranians know that. And that is why they continue to play these little games. Okay, we'll negotiate. And everyone jumps on a plane. And then a day later, they're like, you know what? We changed our mind. We're not negotiating. And prices jump back up. The way to end all of this is militarily. And I know the president doesn't want to go on a shock and awe campaign again, right? You keep hearing people talk about the war in Iran. There hasn't been a bullet fired, I don't think, in a month, right? I mean, I don't think there has been any quote-unquote war. There is a bunch of stalemate happening. There's a bunch of blockades and ships squaring off at each other. But it is driving prices through the roof, and I don't know how much longer we can sustain that before it starts having real impact on the economy and real impact on our politics. I don't want to do anything for politics. I don't want to do anything in the world for pure politics. But God Almighty, if the Democrats get power again, then how we survived the Biden years is only by the grace of God. If they get power again and you add all of their anger and all of their hatred and all of their revenge seeking, woof, that's a dark, dark scenario. And that's my concern. I don't even want them to have one more House member or Senate member, let alone majorities in either chambers. So I'm nervous, Jesse. I'm not going to lie. You know, I like to be the voice of optimism. I'm concerned. I'm still hopeful. But we're up against the clock.
Yeah, that's what I was worried about, brother. Daniel Turner, thank you, my man. I appreciate it. Come back.
Anytime, Jesse.
That's what I was worried about. All right. Well, at least you don't have to worry about insurance if you run a business. You don't have to deal with this anymore, what you've been dealing with, having multiple different insurance people. I have to call this guy for this, but then I have to call that guy for that. By the way, what does my insurance even cover? Does it cover everything I need? Am I even insured? Do I have enough? Or do I have too much? Am I paying for a bunch of crap I don't need? You don't have to do this anymore. You're not an insurance expert. You're not running an insurance business. Let SuperSure do it all for you. Now there's one phone call. Now there's one company you deal with, SuperSure. Did you know, by the way, they'll give you a full report on your current policies. No obligation. At least get that. At least let them let you know this is what you have. And then let them fix it all for you. Wouldn't that make your life easier? Go to supersure.com/Jesse. Supersure.com/Jesse. Paid for by SuperSure Insurance Agency, LLC, a licensed insurance agency.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email us jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Officer John Bartholomew, 38 years old. He's a husband. He was a father of three. He was killed in Chicago by a guy who had over 20 arrests, one judge, one dirtball commie judge released him multiple times. I want you to know that Democrats do this on purpose. This is done to create an anarcho-tyranny state where law-abiding citizens are afraid, criminals are running rampant. It causes angst, chaos in a society. The more mixed up and torn up a society gets, the more ripe that society is for a communist revolution. This is not an accident. This is done on purpose by the communists. The Democrat Party is inherently evil, and they have to be kept from power at any cost. Also, this was a speaker at the Minnesota State Capitol.
So Minnesotans, I mean not Minnesotans, Somalis brought more than just built the economy. They didn't just build the economy, but we contribute to the soul of this great state. And I want to remind you that no human is illegal, ever. You are not illegal. Our neighbors are not illegal.
They built the economy and the soul. Let's check in on those.
Yeah, things. We have had a photographer there at the daycare since this morning, capturing video of those federal agents just going in and out of the building, collecting evidence as part of the DOJ's fraud investigation in Minnesota. Sources tell Fox that federal agents are raiding about 22 businesses across Minneapolis this morning. And sources say many of them are tied to Somali-owned operations. It's the Quality Learning Center. This is the daycare. It went
that must be the economy and the soul. Yeah, sure. Anyway, remember when I told you that this whole red-green alliance, that it wasn't going to work out great for the communists in the end because the Muslims are not going to share power? And I said, specifically, I referenced the UK. The UK, their Democrat Party, that's their Labour Party, they brought in hordes and hordes and hordes of Muslims from all over the world, and they struck the same bargain American Democrats do here. Hey, you can rape and murder and do whatever, and we'll protect you. Just make sure your community votes for us en masse, and it'll work out great for everybody. Except something was happening. Something has been happening in the UK, where there used to be a Daniel as a representative in their Congress, if you will. There's now a Muhammad. They're moving on up to the east side, to a deluxe apartment in the sky. I'm kidding, that was the Jeffersons, Chris. Anyway, headline from Just the News. Muslim voters are reshaping UK politics, creating new challenges for the Starmer government. The Red-Green Alliance was always simply an alliance of convenience to wage war on the Christian West. But in the end, they were never going to share power. Oh, they'll work together for a while until they can destroy you and your family and your church, of course. But in the end, there's only going to be one holding power up. And guess who it's not going to be? Let's check in on New York City, speaking of which.
New York City faces a budget crisis of a historic magnitude. We inherited a deficit larger than any since the Great Recession. Years of mismanagement and chronic underbudgeting, alongside a structural imbalance between what New York City sends to the state and what we receive in return, have taken a toll. We cannot close this deficit with savings alone. We need new revenue, and we need a structural reset in our relationship with the state. That is the only way to meet our legal obligation to pass a balanced budget, and to do so without imposing a financial burden onto the backs of working people.
New York City is going belly up because they elected a Muslim communist, and it's too funny. Anyway, let's move on.
And now,
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Data confirms huge overrepresentation of foreign nationals in London sex crimes. No, you don't say. Hey, I wonder what kind of foreign nationals those are. President Trump and the First Lady welcomed the royals to the White House. I know they did a big to-do up there with the photo ops and everything else. And I don't know. There's still something that feels a little dirty about welcoming royals into the White House. Jimmy Kimmel remains defiant and insists his expectant widow jab against Trump What's about the age difference? Jimmy Kimmel understands the game now. Jimmy Kimmel is not paid to be a comedian. Jimmy Kimmel is paid to be a servant of the communist system. As long as he does that, he will have a job. If he ever stops doing that, he will not. Post office processed migrant amnesty without criminal record checks. Kind of seems like a big deal, except it happened in Spain. Who cares? Raping migrant spared prison after agreeing to take consent classes. And that took place in Britain. It's a shame over there. Trump effect. NATO spending surge hits levels not seen in decades. You could actually see a scenario where NATO actually does break up. This whole Iran thing has made them all so freaking mad. And they keep threatening that we're going to start spending more on our military. Maybe we can finally be free of those burdensome Europeans. That's fine. I like the Japanese way more anyway. We'll go the other way across the pond. We'll start hanging out with Japan. They have better food, a lot better culture. You can sign me up for some more Japan. Anyway, we will be back tomorrow to do it again. We will see what happens if the bombs start falling and anything else. All right? That's all.